Sunday means football. This is Sports Fan Football Sunday. We preview this week's matchups, recap and highlights from all the big college games, plus helping you set your fantasy lineup. It's Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Coming to you before kickoff and pregame for the Bears, which are going to be happening later on this station. We are going to be talking about them as well as fantasy football on one full hour of Football Sunday at Sports Fan Radio 1330. You can stream us on sportsfanrockford.com. We've got the Sports Fan Rockford app. We are accessible and things here are free. Jordan, what's going on? What are you looking at?
You know, just making sure. I know you had to get some extra coffee in, just making sure everything was looking right.
It's been a busy week, I got to tell you. A little bit later on, I'll be over at Grace Foods for Feed the Need 2019, doing that with 104.9 The X. The barrel count so far to this point has been ahead of schedule, but we've still got a ways to go to catch that goal. So if you're doing some shopping, go see me over on North Alpine, and we could talk fantasy football and help out some people who could use it across the state line area.
I believe we did that last year, didn't we? Didn't we take a little trip over there?
I think you and I did, right?
Yeah, we were a little team, a little duo over there. And I think we raised the most out of the weekend last year.
We did.
Within our span. You won an award for that, too, by the way.
Oh, that was 2 years ago, yeah.
That was 2 years ago. Okay, yeah, that's... Well, time flies when you're having fun, I guess.
I like to go in and close those things because it always looks best when I'm like, check out the number now, you know?
So you're our closer here at the station.
I try to be. You know, I don't want to go first. I never want to go first. Someone will always do better.
So you're our version of Colome.
Yes.
Colome. There you go.
Second one better. There you got it. There we go.
Took me a little bit. Hey, it's out of baseball season, so it took me a little bit.
Got the apostrophe over the wrong O there for a minute, but you corrected yourself. You're good. I don't know what that's called. What is that called? The apostrophe thing?
I'll be honest. I took 3 years of Spanish, only made it through year two, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, mine is it's small as well. So I'm Jackson. He's Jordan Gothy.
We haven't introduced ourselves already.
No, we haven't. We've just been talking about helping people in the state line area, which is probably more important, but that's not what the people are necessarily here for on their sports radio program.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about football. We're here to talk about the Chicago Bears.
Oh, I forgot about them.
You ready? It's been a couple of days. You and I haven't talked about the Bears yet.
Yeah, well, I think that might be for the better.
You've reset yourself, right?
I've reset myself, but every time we bring up the Bears, man, it doesn't look good. I mean, who knows what's going on with this team? I mean, it's kind of a lost cause. 4-6, you're four games back from the last wild card spot.
Jordan, there's reasons to be optimistic, though.
Is there, though?
Mitch Trubisky is off the injury report. He's going to play.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the mysterious hip injury. Yeah.
Are you saying that wasn't real?
What are you talking? No, I didn't say that. Hip injury.
You're throwing up air quotes, man.
No, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about.
I could have swore I just saw you throw up air quotes. Oh, it's a fly. Never mind. All right. So Mitch Trubisky's back. The Bears have lost 5 of 6. It's rough, but every team goes through a rough patch during the course of a season, right? So they can right themselves. They've got the New York Giants today, but can we talk about that Rams game real quick? Just a couple of
Yes, go back to it. Why not?
All right. Because the big story this week is the injury, phantom or not, of Mitch Trubisky, the moment that he had with Matt Nagy, a very memeable one. Trubisky had one solid offensive drive last week against the Rams in primetime. Very beginning of the second half, 12 plays. He went 80 yards. Cohen wrapped it up with a touchdown. It's nice to see Tariq Cohen get involved a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's good to use him once in a while. And
it's good to use your playmakers.
You know, if they could start a little bit quicker like they were doing last year, this wouldn't be so bad, I don't think, with Trubisky. If they could just start games off better. Mm-hmm. What makes it look so bad is that the scripted plays aren't working.
Right.
So Coach of the Year Matt Nagy and alternate Pro Bowler Mitch Trubisky from last year, they're not the same because it takes them a half to wake up, it seems like.
It does. And we talked about this last week. I brought it up to where, yeah, you're right. The exact same point where scripted plays worked so well. The first two drives last season were so darn good for the Bears. This year, they just come out of the gates looking sluggish. Three and outs, too many three and outs consistently. But going back to the beginning of that Rams game, I mean, the offense did look good. They were driving down the field. They're getting yards. Had a couple opportunities, hit a couple field goals, but Eddie Pinero missed them, unfortunately. But outside of that, and that's another issue for another day, I mean, the offense did show some progress, even though it was only a one-score game, only one touchdown for the Bears as well. They still had their offense, in fact, looked better than the Rams' offense. Maybe that's just how bad the Rams' offense was, or still is. They're struggling this year as well. They're having their own issues, but the Bears won in the time of possession. The Rams had more rushing yards. The Bears were kind of even with the passing yards. But, I mean, at this point, who would you rather take at quarterback, Jared Goff or Mitchell Trubisky?
I would rather have neither, but ultimately the Bears only put up 7 points in the end.
In the end, yes. Again, it could have been more if Panera would have hit those field goals, but you know, I got another topic for another day.
Yeah, well, it could be a topic for today, to be honest with you. They still need some help at the kicker position, and that's something that they're going to have to address in the offseason. And at this point, do you even consider a new kicker this year, or do you just let it play out with Eddie Panera?
I think you let it play out. I mean, Eddie Panero, I mean, we saw what he can do. He's had some good games this year, like against Denver early on. It's been a little bit slow as of late. But, like, who's out there that you can just you can go and hang your head on and be like, yeah, this is the answer. This is the guy we want. I mean, New England let
Mike Nugent go. Yeah, I hate to say it, but you're right. Like, Nick Folk was there.
Yeah, Nick Folk, a guy who hasn't played, didn't play at all in 2018, played 4 games in 2017. The New England Patriots said, yeah, you're better than Mike Nugent. We want you to come in and be our kicker. So far, he's what, 6 for 6? I mean, the Patriots can find a kicker like that, but the Bears continue to struggle like some other teams around the league as well in the kicking department.
Yeah, they brought in a lot of unproven guys, and they really put them through the ringer through about, what, all the way through training camp, really.
Yeah, they had the whole kicking competition where you had to hit the 40-yard field goal. If you miss it, you're done. And they had, like, what, 7 or 9 kickers line up?
It's just so crazy.
Like, 3 of them made it?
I mean, he put such an emphasis on it to where you assume that there's still an emphasis on it, but it's you can't really do anything now. You took your guy, and
That's
you're rolling
true.
With him. So it's Pinheiro, it's Trubisky, and none of this should fall on the defense, to be honest with you, because you should be able to win most games when you're giving up 17 points. And a lot of those 17 points that they gave up, if it was tighter, if it was a closer game, I don't know, man. I just, the defense is better than this, and it's because the offense has been making them stay out on the field largely throughout the season. The defense is going to start to wear down here toward the end of the year and look worse than what they actually are, I feel.
No matter how bad one player looks, like Mitchell Trubisky, that's the one player everyone keeps analyzing. It's just, it's a collective bad effort from a team standpoint. The defense has played well, but you got to throw Matt Nagy in that same category. Matt Nagy has not done a good enough job coaching so far this year. He has struggled his second year as the guy, as the face of the head coach, the guy who leads the team. And if you go back to the late in the game where he decided to throw Trubisky on the bench and put Chase Daniel in there for one last drive late in the game. Because Matt Nagy, he was probably thinking in his head that, okay, we got one drive to get down the field, score, put this thing into overtime. We have one final drive to have our season continue pretty much. Because if they lose, which they did, the Bears are around 4-6, 4 games back from the last wild card spot. The Vikings and Packers are just running away with the division right now. The NFC is so strong as a conference that with the loss on Sunday night, the Bears season's over. They're not going to make postseason. 6 games remain, you're 4 games back. There's no way they're going to make that type of run. Especially when
I don't think they're making the playoffs anyway, but it's just crazy how far they've fallen. When you say 4 games, I mean, it's hard to even think about. This team was 3-1. They were 3-1. So at the end of the year, here's what we've got coming up for the Bears. You've got the Giants with an 11:30 broadcast here on Sports Fan Radio 1330. After the Giants, you go to Detroit.
Short week.
Man, they're going to have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, short week.
Man. But that game will be here too, so feel free to listen. Sports Fan Radio 1330. The Cowboys at home, then you travel to Green Bay, then you've got the Chiefs at home, and then you travel to Minnesota, and that rounds out the rest of your year. Not pretty.
You know, it's not pretty. A lot of divisional matchups, and they are 2-1 inside their division this year.
I have to admit that I was wrong. Last year, when the ball hit the second, when it hit the crossbar and the season ended, I thought, oh, I feel terrible for Cody Parkey. I mean, I was still right about that. I still feel terrible for Cody Parkey. I would never want that job to be a kicker in the NFL, right? But I was wrong in the sense of, I don't understand why the Bears fans are so unhappy about this. They make the playoffs for the first time in a while. They've got a ton of youth, and they've got plenty of time with the way that the contracts are lining up with the way that the progression of this team looks. I mean, Matt Nagy looked like he could do no wrong. He could get as creative as he wanted to. Mitch looked like he was at least going to be a competent quarterback in this league, and the defense was phenomenal. I said, they're going to come back. They're going to be just fine next year. I don't understand why everybody's all up in arms. You don't just go from being terrible for 5 years to winning the Super Bowl all of a sudden. It's not how this works. You, in hindsight, kind of wish that they would have gone a little bit further last year, and at least because you now... Now where we're at, it's almost like that was their shot.
I mean, the Bears made a huge jump last year. You know, no one really saw it coming. No one really had a lot of film on this Bears offense and really on the defense as well, how both sides played very well last year. And it showed huge growth for the Bears as just as a team, as a unit. But now we're in year two, and it's just huge regression all across the board. You could even put the defense. Sure, defense has played well this year, but not to where they were last year.
You have to admit that.
They're not getting any pressure on the quarterback whatsoever, and I'm not sure the guy you're probably going to point the finger to is Khalil Mack. What's going on?
Yeah, one sack in the last four games, Jordan. And
what's going on?
Question for you there on that subject while we're here. Right now, the Raiders hold the Bears' first-round pick. They're currently at number 8.
Oh, man, that's rough.
So knowing this, knowing the way that everything's played out, if you could go back, would you want the Khalil Mack trade done again?
No, I would still take Khalil Mack. I'd still take arguably the best defensive player in the league, and still kind of is. I mean, he's not, I would maybe say Aaron Donald is for sure the number one guy, but Khalil Mack's definitely still in that competition, or in the same area, same vicinity.
Yeah, both are game wreckers.
Right. And there's no, I'm not questioning Khalil Mack's talent, of course, but it just has not shown up in the last month and a half. There's been no production, not only him, but just as a unit, as the pass rush. The pass rush is just not existent this year in Chicago, which is something that we've seen for the last 2 years has been really the focal point of their defense has been their pass rushing ability. This year has not been the case. Again, quarterback's had a lot of time to kind of pick where he wants to throw it, and he's kind of picked apart a little bit of that secondary. I'm kind of out of answers at this point.
I'm with you. I mean, I would have still taken the Khalil Mack trade. I still would want to have one of the best players in the league, a proven person there. I don't care if it's number 8 pick that was going away this year. Yeah, absolutely, because you don't know exactly who that rookie's going to be. Some hit and some are amazing. How many are Khalil Mack? Hey, are you a vintage guy? Do you like some of the classic jerseys? Are you somebody who gets the old stuff? You like that stuff? Because I do.
I'm an old school guy, so yeah.
The Bears are going to have the 1960s era helmets against the Giants today. You excited?
I mean, it's not something that gets me excited, but it's intriguing.
It's going to look different, I guess. Maybe it'll give them good luck. Maybe if they roll off a big victory against the Giants, they keep with the 1960s, you know, Doug Buffon era Bears helmets as they keep on going and try to make something out of their season. Speaking of vintage, we saw a play last Thursday that you and I didn't have a chance to talk about when we recorded the show.
Yeah.
Old school football here, where people were about to get into a fist fight on the field, and it looks so different now because in 2019 you don't see things like this happen ever. People used to kill each other, so this would have fit in the old era of football. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it was good. It was pretty scary, especially when you put it up to the way the games are now. You get flagged for a bunch of things now. This was definitely something that was a bit outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
The Mason Rudolph situation. As news has come out here and within, I believe, the last 24 hours, we're recording this on Saturday. So within the last 24 hours, he will get a $50,000 fine for his role in the brawl last Thursday night. Pittsburgh versus Cleveland. Jordan, you had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, where should we begin? I mean, with the hit, I mean, you probably know as much as really any other person with how closely you watch the Packers, with how Clay Matthews has played over the last couple of seasons, how many really bad calls he has gotten, unfortunately. And there's a limited area where an edge rusher can hit the quarterback safely. You can't go below the knees, you're going to get a flag. You can't hit the head, you're going to get a flag. You really can't go above the shoulders, you're going to get a flag. So there's just this, there's a small area where you can hit the guy and you can't drive him into the ground as well. And where Garrett hit Rudolph was right in the gut, the only place he could hit him. And if you look at the replay, Garrett did not drive Rudolph into the ground either. Rudolph landed on top of Garrett. So it was a safe hit. It was a safe tackle, I would say. But things escalated as they were going to the ground. You could see Rudolph was kicking his legs at Garrett. Pretty sure he wasn't happy with the questionable late timing of the hit. But he started kicking him in a certain area. You're not supposed to kick someone. And then when they got to the ground, you could see Rudolph was wrestling, trying to grab Garrett's helmet off first. So Garrett's probably thinking, okay, this is how we're going to play this, Kyle? I mean, well, not Kyle, Rudolph.
Mason.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought Kyle Rudolph. Anyways,
yeah, I mean, Minnesota doesn't either.
Anyways, he's trying to rip off. So he's probably thinking, okay, this is how we're going to play it. So he ripped off Rudolph's helmet instead. And then things obviously escalated two offensive linemen tried to corral Garrett, which they did.
Yeah, who was the one that was doing stomps like it was WWE?
That was Pouncey. Well,
that was Marquise Pouncey?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, those
look like
he's
they
a
were
guy
fake.
I wouldn't want to mess with.
No, I know, but those look like they were just regular stomps that you would find on Monday nights. Like it didn't look real. Like they look like he was stopping and letting up.
I think the newsflash is that like you should not use your fist to punch a guy who has a helmet on. I think that should be that's just common sense.
Oh, yeah,
you shouldn't
stupid.
Do that. But he was throwing some pretty big haymakers, and then of course he kicked Garrett on the ground. Kicked him pretty much, and they got suspended 3 games.
Well, where I disagree with you is that the play where the takedown was safe. I'm going to be completely honest with you and think that maybe, I don't know, Myles Garrett was just kind of frustrated about something, or he came in and was trying to drive him down, because Rudolph clearly got rid of that ball and Myles Garrett was still trying to take him down for like the next 2 or 3 seconds. It felt like it was way after the throw was out.
But he didn't drive him into the ground though.
No, he didn't, but he was still trying to take him down. And I think that's what frustrated Mason Rudolph. And I'm not defending what Rudolph did. I think that he's definitely like at fault in this situation as well.
I think both sides are obviously.
Yes, they're both jerks in this situation. Yeah. And I think that, you know, if you would have went higher than 50,000 for Mason Rudolph, I wouldn't have complained to you.
No.
Because I think that like part of it was on him. And I don't like the way that he acted too, where it's like all of a sudden he got hit with the helmet, didn't fall down, didn't seem fazed by it. And he's like, hey, to the referee. I don't like that. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, I mean, both parties were at fault, clearly. It's an ugly situation. It's getting uglier. I mean, the report earlier this week was Miles waited a whole week to say this, but he did tell reporters that he thought Rudolph said a racial slur towards him.
All right, whatever.
I mean, it's a week later. Were to happen, if you did hear that, that's something that should have been brought up right away.
No, you bring that up right away.
You absolutely
bring that up right
100%.
Away. You bring it up right away.
You do. So...
Oh, I thought I heard something. Oh, okay, we forgive you then. Shut up.
We'll see what happens going forward. It's a very ugly situation, and it's getting worse by the day, I feel like.
Well, Myles Garrett's suspended indefinitely, and this dude gets off by like a couple of game checks or whatever. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, he's suspended the rest of the season without pay. And then Pouncey's suspended 3 games. I think they're trying to make
sure
he's suspended.
Well, Pouncey's got a history, though. Pouncey's got a bit of a history.
But I think they're trying to make sure he's suspended so he skips the next meeting against the Browns. So you look on the schedule, the Browns come up in 3 weeks, and they want to make sure he's not in that game.
Then suspend him for that game.
Can
think
you
outside
do that,
the
though?
Box.
And you say, yeah, we're suspended for whatever week that is, 15 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it's ever
I mean,
done
it's got
to
be one or three, right?
Right.
It's got to be one or three. You can't do two and then, you know, have the one where he plays in the middle. So, yeah, okay, fine. 3 games. And that's fine. That's fine. Don't stomp on people. It's stupid.
Also, the Browns defensive tackle got suspended, too, this week. Because he came in later and pushed Rudolph in the back.
Got it.
While they're in the end zone.
Well,
this is, again, ugly situation. It's getting uglier, and it's just not good by
it's
the
just
NFL.
A lot of punk things by everybody involved, it felt like. And that includes Mason Rudolph. Hey, Jordan, how much are you excited for Sunday Night Football tonight? Potential game of the year. It has potential.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I mean, I'm not a Packer fan, but I am a little excited to see the 49ers back in primetime action. They're a fun team to watch.
Dude, they beat the Packers every time they play them, too. Like, Rodgers never beats the Niners.
They played, well, I think, what, they played Monday night last year? Was it up in Lambeau?
Yeah, I think so.
Or maybe it was a year before. But yeah, that was a nice matchup.
I try to forget both of those years.
The 49ers play well against the Packers. Maybe that's why I like it even more. But Kyle Shanahan's got that team playing. That's a fun team to watch.
A win would put Green Bay in the driver's seat for the number one seed. And it also reminds me every single time, one, of Colin Kaepernick because of the 3 or 4 years of the Packers and Niners had another rivalry in the early part of this decade. And I hated Kaepernick, the player. The player, because he used to just destroy Green Bay and he ran for like 181 yards that 1 year. Anquan Boldin, he was throwing all over the field to him. Clay Matthews could not get a hand on him whatsoever. It was just ugly. But it's the best Aaron Rodgers quote ever. The other thing it reminds me about, that on draft night in 2005, Rodgers was asked if he feels bad that the 49ers passed over him. Quote, not as bad as they'll feel for not choosing me. One of my favorite quotes of all time, even though the Niners get him every single time they play. We'll see what happens, but we're going to talk about that game. We'll talk about the Bears taking on the Giants and make 4 other game day picks. Some intriguing matchups this week, too.
A lot better than last week.
Just enough to make it 6 games because everything else besides that, trash.
Yeah, the 12 o'clock games are
trash.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
Let's dive into fantasy football, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's coming up next. Sports Fan Radio 1330. He's Jordan. I'm Jackson. We talk quarterbacks, running backs, and more up next.
More Sports Fan Football Sunday next on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Now back to Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hey, we're diving into Fantasy Hour at Sports Fan 1330. If you've got a question or you've got some kind of dilemma going on. Week 12 already in the NFL season. That means the playoffs are coming around, which means you've got to win, not only for seeding, but there might be one or two of you that are trying to get in the playoffs as well. So we're here for you at SportsFan1330 on Twitter or Facebook. Feel free to ask us. We've got just the guy to talk to about it. Jordan, what's up?
Speaking of playoffs, our league actually starts this week. Our work league here.
Oh, does it really?
And last week, you and me played each other again. And of course, I ended up winning the matchup and actually knocked you all the way down from the second seed to the fourth seed.
Oh, okay.
You upset about that?
Who does that mean that I'm playing with?
Playing Brady.
Oh, dude. Okay. I mean, Brady's awesome. Brady was out there for the Belvedere versus Belvedere North thing.
It we did a coach's corner first.
Well, his team. Like, does he even change his team?
Yeah.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, I beat him. That's all good. All right. That was the week I played him the week that the Patriots scored 40 and I had no other player outside of like Harrison Butker in double digits. I was playing Brady that week, I'm pretty sure.
Don't you have the Patriots defense?
I do.
Okay, well, there you go.
It's going to be exciting, man. They've got the Cowboys this week, but we'll talk about defense pretty soon here. Let's dive into quarterbacks, Jordan. You've got rankings that you like to post up. You've got your full list right now going on. And the injuries for the quarterbacks, I hear there's a ton.
Well, for quarterbacks, there's only two.
Oh, okay.
Now, we mentioned last segment, Mitchell Trubisky, hip injury, but he is expected to play. And Jameis Winston, who left the game late last week with the ankle injury, he looks like he has the green light this week again, but that's just something to keep an eye on. So Jameis Winston and Trubisky both active for today's games.
I felt bad for Dwayne Haskins asking his linemen what more he could do to help them on the sideline last week. Now, he's not like a big-time fantasy player, but this is just when I think about quarterbacks, I think about that video. The linemen didn't have anything to really say. Then the video cut off. Some were saying that they looked like they weren't interested, didn't care. I didn't see that. I just saw a bunch of people that are like, I don't know, man. We suck. What do you want us to tell you?
I don't think anyone wanted to play for the Redskins anymore.
It's true. Could Haskins still, despite what's going on, he looked okay with protection last week. Could he become rosterable at any point this season? Are you seeing anything out of him to where you think that he could become a decent player? They've got the Lions, Packers, Giants, Eagles remaining on their schedule. All teams, not the best pass defenses.
That's a very interesting question. Now, from what I've seen from Haskins, the eye test tells me no. Okay, right now he's still trying to learn the league. He's only playing a couple of his third game he's now starting.
Yep.
But again, it's a friendly matchups going forward. Detroit, you can pass all over them. The Giants, Philadelphia, both have weak secondaries. And Green Bay, overall, is a pretty good defense, but they still give up a lot of yards within the, well, I guess the red zone is when they really step up. But outside the red zone, they give up a lot of yards. So really all those teams you can pass against. So Haskins is a guy to keep an eye on, but you should not own him yet.
Denver poses a good matchup fantasy-wise against quarterbacks, but Josh Allen has been a pretty good fantasy player this year so far. Do you continue rolling with him if you've been starting him this year?
I think you have to. I mean, I think it is a tough matchup versus Denver. I mean, outside of last week, Kirk Cousins had 22 fantasy points. Outside of last week, the Broncos have not allowed more than 16 fantasy points versus opposing quarterbacks this season. They've been pretty good against that position, but Josh Allen, though, like you mentioned, I mean, he's been on fire. He's been on a bunch of my teams. I don't know if you know this or not, Jackson, but Allen has 7 rushing touchdowns this season, which is more than fantasy quarterback number one, Lamar Jackson. He has 6 rushing touchdowns this season. Josh Allen has 7. Now, again, different argument.
MVP if you include, Josh Allen.
Different argument if you include the rushing yards, but totally different story. But Josh Allen still finds a way as a nose to get in the end zone, either rushing or throwing the ball. I think Josh Allen, I mean, are we at the point where he is a must-start in fantasy just because he brings the rushing ability?
Yeah, dude.
I think he's so. A must-start, right?
I mean, he's got a tough matchup this week, though, so do you play him against Denver?
I would, yeah. I think the hot train is going to continue. I think this Bills offense has a lot of playmakers with John Brown. They're starting to utilize the tight end. Devin Singletary is finally healthy. I still think they have players over there. I think Josh Allen is a guy you still play.
Sneaky picks, sleepers, people that you want to look at who may perform better than what they say on paper.
You know, first guy I'm looking at is Carson Wentz, a guy who has struggled this
year
in fantasy.
That would be new. Yep.
Yeah, but now you play Seattle, a team that's ranked 20th versus opposing quarterbacks in fantasy, has a weaker secondary. If you look at overall as a team, Seattle's a good team. Secondary is the obvious weak link right now. I think Carson Wentz, a team that's feeling motivated after a really tough loss at home last week against the New England Patriots. I think they're looking for their revenge win. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring this weekend in Philadelphia. Give me Carson Wentz. And the second guy, I know. I have not mentioned this guy's name in weeks.
Hold on a second. Can I give you mine and see if we match up?
Go ahead.
All right. This guy's been playing better the last 2 weeks. More touchdowns. Not a crazy good completion percentage, but he's got the Dolphins. And what's our rule with the Dolphins?
You start every player.
Including?
Baker Mayfield.
Your favorite player. Go check the archives. Jordan absolutely loves Baker Mayfield.
No, I'm not on the Baker Mania train anymore. That train has left the station. But this week, though, it's not a bad matchup. Playing Miami, ranked 28th against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. Hey, opposing teams know how to score against the Miami Dolphins, except for the Colts. They struggled. But
they did.
Outside of that team, every other team in the NFL knows how to score against the Dolphins. I think the Browns are going to keep the train rolling. They're still believing. Their season's not over yet. Big win last week against the Steelers. They're still believing they can contend for a playoff spot. I think Baker's going to show up. This Browns offense is going to show up. Give me the Browns players.
Quickly give me one player to avoid.
Jameis Winston. First guy I'm looking at. If this Atlanta defense is real, I know they're ranked 26th against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. Now, on paper, you might think, hey, that's a great matchup. This Atlanta defense has actually been on fire the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
They shut down Drew Brees 2 weeks ago. They shut down Kyle Allen, forced 4 turnovers against Kyle Allen, a guy you're a fan of at the quarterback position.
I love all Allens.
And they kept McCaffrey. They kept McCaffrey out of the end zone. Sure, McCaffrey had still a nice PPR day, had a lot of receptions, had a lot of total yards, but they kept him out of the end zone. This Atlanta defense only allowed 2 field goals last week against Christian McCaffrey and that Carolina offense.
Yeah, they've been good, man.
They have been legit the last 2 weeks. If this continues this week, which I believe it will, I think Atlanta's playing with fire. They're
Save
playing for Dan
Quinn.
I think Jameis Winston, a guy who is Mr. Turnover himself, I would avoid Jameis Winston this week.
Okay, that, and also Bruce Arians says that he wants to dial him back a little bit and try to mix up the run a little more because Jameis has been turning the ball over like crazy. So we move over to the running backs. Injuries to the running backs, who do we have?
We have a few guys who have been dealing with injuries all week long in practice. Josh Jacobs dealing with a shoulder injury. Phillip Lindsay has missed practice all week long with a foot and wrist injury. That's a guy to keep an eye on as we get close to kickoff.
Freeman time.
Yeah, Jordan Howard missed last week's game. Also, it doesn't look like he will play this week dealing with a shoulder injury against Seattle. Matt Breida, another guy who is doubtful with an ankle injury.
Yes.
James Conner officially listed as out with a shoulder issue. Devontae Freeman out with a foot issue.
Man, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So what do you make of the Los Angeles Chargers backfield at this point of everybody right now? Now that Melvin Gordon's getting back into the swing of things, now that he's starting to look better, he's got that unofficial, you know how they say about baseball players when they're hurt at the beginning of the year, they come in. Well, he's still kind of going through spring training, man. The same thing with Gordon here. It's basically the preseason for him, and now he's warmed up. You got him, Eckler, and even the prospects of Jackson. What do you make of them at this point? Who do you start out of that group now?
I still think Eckler is the number one guy in terms of fantasy. I think any time now Gordon is due for a breakout game. I really don't blame the backfield situation with the Chargers. I blame how the quarterback has played, Phillip Rivers. He has not played like himself this year. This might be his worst career year. I mean, he's having a really bad year, turning the ball over, not playing well. I mean, he lost so many steps on Monday night against the Chiefs, just did not look right.
4 interceptions on 7 attempts at game-winning drives this year.
Again, I know the Chargers are really banged up on the offensive line. They're not playing well. So I'm not putting this all on the backfield. I think Melvin Gordon and Elson Eckler are both good fantasy options. It's just their supporting cast around their offensive line and their quarterback has not played well at all this year, and that's why the team has struggled.
Speaking of struggled, you and I, I'm at least me, and I think that you said this too, but I don't want to put words in your mouth last week, but a lot of people guessed wrong on Ronald Jones. He had 8 catches. He had 100 total yards the week prior, but in week 10, he had a grand total of, what, 6 touches?
Yeah, it was ugly. It was a lot of throwing the ball on both sides last week. I was with you. I did say Ronald Jones was one of my favorite plays going into last week. This week, I'd be a little more cautious. I have been burned by Jones a lot in the past. But, I mean, you're playing Atlanta team. I think I think he could be due for a rebound.
And I think Arians wants to run him more based on what we just said a few minutes ago and pertaining to Jameis Winston.
And at least maybe a couple more catches out of the backfields. Now, I don't expect 8 catches for 70 yards like he did 2 weeks ago. I'm thinking more of like 4 to 5 catches, maybe for like 30 or 40 yards, somewhere in that range. They're still going to keep him involved in the passing game because that was a big struggle coming out of college was him, first of all, learning the playbook, second of all, catching the football. I think he's fixed that this year, and that's why he's got more playing time, more trust in that offense and that Bruce Arians offense. I think he could be good for a rebound week this week against Atlanta.
Yes or no, he gets 10 points.
10 points, yeah. I can believe it.
On the other side, and I promise we're going to talk about more than just that lowly Buccaneers-Falcons game, but on the other side of the field, Devontae Freeman's out. Brian Hill is in. I picked him up in a couple of leagues, and that sucked. Tampa Bay's good against the run, but Brian Hill, he's the guy right now. So are you interested in him still?
If you saw on Twitter after the game last week, he's not a fan of fantasy football. Brian Hill isn't.
He should be a fan of doing well, though, and that helps us.
A lot of people have really picked him up, and they're fans of him going into last week. It's a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, a team that is ranked top 3 against opposing running backs in fantasy. Their run defense is really good. Their pass rush is really good for Tampa Bay, which is something we haven't said in a long time. Vita Vea might be one of the most underrated players in the entire National Football League. He has played exceptional against the run this year. Tough matchup for Brian Hill. I think he's a flex option at best and maybe in a 2 flex option league.
I was wrong about Ty Johnson in Detroit replacing Kerryon Johnson.
I was too.
Turns out, Jordan, you and I, we weren't replacing players. We were just replacing first names. There's more to it than that. Bo Scarborough is that dude. For my Lions, they've got Washington this week, and I recommend that you pick up Bo Scarborough and play him if he has not been picked up in your league already. Any sleepers that you have in mind?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Bo because is it just me or does he remind me of LeGarrette Blount?
A little bit.
In that Patriots offense, remember a couple years ago he had like what, almost 17 rushing touchdowns, something crazy like that?
In ascending a year? Eddie Lacy, where he's a big dude that can glide.
He kind of reminds me of that. Anyways, the guy I really like this week, Jalen Samuels. He's number 1 on my list, playing against Cincinnati, ranked 29th because opposing running backs in fantasy. Again, James Conner's out. Juju Smith-Schuster out. Deontay Johnson, doubtful.
Unacceptable.
The number 1 receiver for Pittsburgh is James Washington. Correction, the number 1 receiver and running back for the Steelers team is Jalen Samuels. He knows how to catch the ball. He had 10 receptions a couple weeks ago. They're going to get him involved because he might be the only playmaker on that field with starting experience. Give me Jalen Samuels. I love the matchup against Cincinnati this weekend.
Should I be scared with Aaron Jones going up against San Francisco?
I think there's cause for concern. But he's a guy you're not going to bench, though.
Nope.
Because of double-digit touchdowns, he's played well in every game he has so far this year. I mean, you got to keep
starting
him.
No, he's had a couple of duds. He had a dud on Monday night against the Lions. After scoring 4 touchdowns against the Cowboys, he did have a dud.
Right. Yeah, I do remember
he had
that
a couple
game.
Of games where he only had, like, he didn't get going early, so it was a Jamal Williams game. I'm hoping that it's not the case. I'm hoping they stay the course here because San Francisco is going to stuff him a few times, and they've got to just stay the course with Aaron Jones.
I think overall, the backfield in Green Bay has played well.
Yes.
In every game. I think overall. So I'll make a correction on that. Not just Aaron Jones, just overall Jamal Williams, another guy I would look out for too. A guy who I'd be a little nervous though going forward is Sony Michel. I'm always nervous when it comes to New England backfields, especially with Rex Burkhead healthy, and they use James Washington a lot. Brandon Bolden, I mean, really, guys, you haven't really heard of the U's in that backfield.
Mm.
But Sony Michel has not been a starting fantasy running back so far this year. He just has not put up numbers. Now you play Dallas, ranked 19th against opposing running backs. He's a guy who has to be on your bench going forward. You can't afford to start a guy like that.
At SportsFan1330, if you have any questions for myself or Jordan, as we're going to lead you up into Bears pregame, 11:30. I'm going to take you to 11 here, talking more fantasy football up next. Wide receivers, tight ends, defenses. And we can't forget about the kicker.
I have a good kicker win this week.
You said this last week.
I do. I have a nice little story behind it, too.
Man,
a little background.
Do you have like a novel?
I go all out when it comes to kicker.
Yeah, you don't mess around with that. I'm excited. And then we got the pick six. We're going to tell you about the games that you should focus on and the ones who are going to win in those games. And we won't talk about last week's results either. That's all coming up next on Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330.
More Sports Fan Football Sunday next on Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's Sports Fan Football Sunday on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Garage Rock. Ugh. Back here on a Football Sunday, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jordan Goethe over there nodding his head. I don't know why. I like this. I don't know where I found this. It wasn't me. But it was in the system, so thank you for whoever put it together.
I don't know where I found this. It wasn't me.
Get us in the system, buddy. It's in the middle of talking fantasy football here on a Football Sunday, taking you up to 11 o'clock. And if you have any questions, of course, that you have concerns about with your roster, now's the time to do it. Now is the time to get in because the playoffs are coming up. These games are more important now with each increasing week. So at SportsFan1330 on Twitter.
We also have an article up on our website too, SportsFanRockford.com.
We've got a fantasy football expert here. He just doesn't like to call himself that.
No, I don't like to use the word expert.
Well, you are. And you are the man who can tell us about the injuries to wide receivers.
Yeah, there's a lot here on the list that have been dealing with injuries throughout this week, so we're going to do a little rapid fire through this. First up in alphabetical order here, Devontae Adams dealing with turf toe. He's still questionable. Yeah, he has played, but still something to keep an eye on going forward. The Packers want to make sure he is fully healthy in order to play on Sunday. Tyler Lockett is dealing with a shin injury. Julian Edelman dealing
Shin.
Shin, that's right. Julian Edelman dealing with a shoulder issue. Odell Beckham Jr., groin. Jarvis Landry, hip injury. I think both got the green light for Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. A little revenge game for Landry. Emmanuel Sanders, rib injury. He is expected to be a game-time decision. Same with Alshon Jeffrey with an ankle injury. Sterling Shepard officially lifted off the concussion protocol. He is expected to play on Sunday.
Seriously?
Same with Brandon Cooks, both of them.
Are you surprised about Sterling Shepard?
I am surprised because I think with one more concussion, he might be done forever.
Jeez. That guy's gone through a lot in his short career. It seems like he just came into the league and he's had seven concussions already. So it's a heavy thing to talk about, and we want the best of his health. You know, it means more than obviously our football stats here.
Yeah.
What other injuries we got?
We have Deebo Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders' teammate. Deebo dealing with the shoulder issue as well. He's expected to be a game time decision. Has played well in fantasy the last 2 weeks. Both Steelers receivers, Diontae Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju is officially ruled out, but Diontae Johnson is expected to be a game-time decision. And Mohamed Sanu is doubtful with an ankle injury for the Patriots.
That's a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
I think I said that for the running backs, but this was even more. Hey, Jordan, Green Bay's defense, they've let up a lot of passing yards so far this year. Which San Francisco 49er receiver, if any, should players and owners look into this week?
I think, now it depends on health. With both Emmanuel and Deebo both banged up this week, I think Deebo is the guy who I would like to own going forward just because there isn't the injury history that Emmanuel Sanders has. It's a long injury history, but when he is healthy, when he does play, he's a dynamic receiver, one of the best in the league. But I think Deebo is a guy who I think is starting to gain a lot of traction. He's a guy who should be owned in all leagues. I like Deebo Samuel going forward.
Can I just celebrate here for a second?
Sure.
Thursday night's game, I didn't have one of my favorite players playing because unfortunately he fractured his hand, Marlon Mack, RIP. But Will Fuller's back, baby. I have been telling you that when he comes back, I'm picking him up. We talked about this last week. 7 for 140. Do you know what that average is? 20.0, dude.
You didn't give me enough time to do the math.
I did it for you. Don't worry. Calculator. Every week, man, I'm rolling with Will Fuller. I know there's going to be some downtimes. It's like any relationship. You know what I mean? This is my favorite fantasy player, and I think that I'm going to keep on going with him. Will Fuller is back. He can't play him for the rest of this week. He already played on Thursday, but we're talking wide receivers, so that's exciting.
I guess my question for you was, can you trust a guy like that going forward? But I think you just answered that because that's a big question. Can you trust Will Fuller? Consistency? It hasn't really been there because there's been so many injuries.
There's been more downtimes than there have been good times this year.
It's kind of a hit or miss situation, boom or bust situation.
Extremely boom or extremely bust, often, you know, boom. But in the past, there's been more good than bad with him. When I know that they're going to get in a high scoring matchup, when Deshaun Watson's going to be going up against Lamar Jackson, I know the game is going to go nuts. So Will Fuller's probably going to get some play. His hamstring felt better. He was questionable going into that game. Boom. 140 yards. Yeah. Gotta love that. Any sleepers or players to have? Actually, just give me a couple of sleepers quick.
A couple of guys I really like. DK Metcalf, great matchup against Philadelphia, ranked 25th against opposing wide receivers. Deebo Samuel, who I just mentioned, Packers are ranked 8th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy, but I really like the matchup because he's had at least 8 receptions in his last 2 games. He's had at least 16 fantasy points in his last 2 games. I think Deebo is really starting to gain traction. But my favorite guy this week, also real quick, Jarvis Landry. Something about that revenge factor. I think Jarvis really wants to stick it to his old team. And Taylor Gabriel is the number one guy for me this week.
Well, that's someone that we haven't heard much of this year.
Especially in fantasy.
Tell me why.
But they're playing the Giants, ranked 30th against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. Taylor Gabriel's had 20 targets in his last two games. He had 14 targets last week from Mitchell Trubisky and Chase Daniel. Both of them, whoever is playing quarterback on Sunday, because we don't know what's going to happen if Trubisky struggles, gets hurt, might throw Chase in there. Both quarterbacks love to utilize Taylor Gabriel when he's healthy, when he's on the field. Taylor Gabriel is a dynamic player in the slot. I think he could bring a lot of value, especially when we're trying to push for the playoffs. A lot of injuries this week. A guy you might want to look for, might want to pick up on your roster or on your roster because he is available in a lot of leagues. Taylor Gabriel is a name to watch for this weekend.
And I like Terry McLaurin bouncing back, too. He caught three deep passes from Haskins last week. I know we talked about Haskins at the beginning here, but the problem was there was a 67-yarder that McLaurin caught that was called back for holding. So if you're a fantasy owner and you lost by 7.7 or less points, blame the referees because that's the 2019 thing to do. McLaurin is coming back, man, and he's got Detroit, who gives up a lot of passing yards. I don't know what they're ranked, but they give up a lot of passing yards, and it gets worse by the week with them.
Well, Detroit is actually ranked 23rd against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. I'm actually kind of it's kind of funny you brought him up because he's on my avoid list this week.
No way!
Because if you look at that Detroit secondary, I mean, Darius Slay, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, he's going to be matched up against Terry all game long because there's really no one else to cover in Washington. And do you really trust the Redskins to move the ball and get down the field? I don't think so.
Okay.
Also, a guy I would avoid, though, is Tyler Boyd. Going in against Pittsburgh, again, rookie quarterback. Pittsburgh's a good defense, ranked 15th because opposing wide receivers. Tyler Boyd, I don't trust that Cincinnati passing game yet.
Any injuries to tight ends?
We have a few. George Kittle dealing with a knee and ankle injuries, missed the last two matchups. So we'll see what happens on Sunday night against the Packers. Delanie Walker was downgraded from questionable to doubtful with an ankle injury. We're still waiting to see if he's coming back. Austin Hooper, we originally thought he's going to be out a month. Now apparently he's week to week. So that's a good sign for Hooper owners. If you kept him, hopefully you did. And then Evan Engram officially ruled out. He's done for the game with a foot injury.
Sam Darnold's getting a little bit better, Jordan. I know he was seeing ghosts against New England that one night.
Yeah.
Who doesn't this year?
It's true.
Dude's only 22.
Well, Lamar Jackson hasn't, but.
Well, that is true. But guy's only 22. Yeah. He's getting a little bit better.
He's young.
And he's getting a lot better because he's been using his tight end named Ryan Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Griffin has at least 11 PPR points in his last three games. He went over 20 once. So if that dude is somehow still sitting out there for you, his average has gone up, so maybe he was promoted to the top of the list in your waiver wires.
Mm-hmm.
Take a good, solid look at Ryan Griffin and play him against Oakland.
I love that. And actually, this is a big week for tight ends, I think. I really do believe. I know Travis Kelce, Kyle Rudolph are out this week with bye weeks. But Jacob Hollister, the starting tight end for the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson uses his tight end. If he's out there, make sure you go grab Hollister. Cameron Brate had 10 targets last week with Jameis Winston replacing O.J. Howard, who has been benched by the Bucs. They're not a fan of his play this year. Great matchup against Atlanta.
Hmm.
And the last guy I'm going to bring up, my favorite guy here, Noah Fant, the rookie tight end out of Iowa, former first-round pick. Brandon Allen has really found the trust with Noah Fant. They utilized him a lot against Minnesota. And the big thing for me is that like they're starting to trust him so much that they used him in a big late-game situation.
Yeah.
The game was on the line. They threw to him twice inside the goal line because they knew if there's one guy in the field who could go up and get the ball – outside of Cortland Sutton, it was going to be Noah Fant. So they threw it to him twice. Unfortunately, it didn't connect, but they're starting to trust him in those big game, late game situations. I like Noah Fant going forward.
A good ball there beats Minnesota.
Yeah.
Ball there. And that's the problem, too, because Brandon Allen he was not sharp in that game, especially in the second half. But he was going to Fant and he was missing a lot. And if he can correct that, if he can get a little bit better at doing that, Fant's going to put up some numbers, dude. I'm with you on that 100%. Anybody else or moving on to defenses?
Yeah, move on to defenses.
Let's do that. As we've talked about this earlier on in this episode, it is not the Legion of Boom in Seattle anymore. I feel like they're playing an Eagles team who struggled offensively. Dude, the best two pass catchers with the Eagles right now, and I know that this doesn't jive with what you were saying earlier. You have a feeling that Carson Wentz is going to break out.
Mm-hmm.
I see it the opposite way. Both tight ends are their best pass catchers. Nobody else can catch the damn ball there.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. So maybe Philadelphia could turn it around. And I think if it was a primetime game, it'd be a little bit different. But right now at a 1 o'clock game, they're kind of unraveling. Philadelphia is. I tend to roll with trends here I'm going to stick with Seattle. I think that Seattle could have a big week when it comes to sneaky defenses that maybe we don't play as much anymore.
You're right. Alshon Jeffrey has dealt with injuries. Nelson Aguilar can't catch a football. You can even argue Zach Ertz has struggled. Really, the depth of receivers for the Eagles this season has just not been good whatsoever. I like the Bears this week. I think, I mean, you're mostly going to start them, but if the Giants somehow find a way to beat the Bears, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen as a Bears fan. But another defense that I think is under the radar, who I know for sure is available in every league, the Lions defense against the Redskins. Okay. Haskins turns the ball over. It's going to happen. Outside of Terry McLaurin, who else is there? Who else is there in that Redskins offense? Adrian Peterson?
Got Adrian maybe. Peterson. But turning back the clock. I'm sure he's had some big games against the Lions over the years, huh?
Yeah, he does.
He knows that turf in Ford Field pretty well.
But I love the matchup against an unproven rookie on the road, given the Lions defense for this week.
You told me a little while ago that you had a kicker with a story that you were excited to share with us. So why don't you tell me about the kicker? Because they, of course, have emotions. We can't forget about them. Hey, you could have somebody on a bye week. I know I've got Harrison Butker that's going. I need to come up with an idea. So, Jordan, you're going to help me pick my kicker this week. Who do you got?
So this is a guy who got cut by the Chargers a season ago. Well, 2 seasons ago. Since then, he's been kind of on the waiver wire, said a few tryouts here and there. Had a tryout with New England. They thought he was going to get the job. Things didn't work out. They went with Mike Nugent. He got released as well. He had a couple more tryouts. Still couldn't find a roster. He finally got a tryout in Atlanta. Atlanta just released Matt Bryant. Younghoo Koo is my kicker this week. A guy who, let's be honest, he's been on fire the last 2 weeks. Guess who else has been on fire the last 2 weeks?
Who's that?
The Falcons defense. The Falcons offense. This entire Atlanta Falcons team, baby. I'm saying the reason why the Falcons are back, the reason for the win streak, is all because of their brand new kicker, Younghoo Koo, going up against Tampa Bay. That's my kicker of the week. Nice feel-good story there.
All right, 1 second while I pick him up here. All right, we're good. I'm going with Eddie Pinheiro. The pick six is where we pick games, and we just do it straight up. We talk about the biggest games of the week. What's so funny?
Man, good luck.
They've got feelings.
Eddie Pinheiro's your kicker? I mean,
he's got
feelings.
He's going to bounce back, man. It can't be any worse, right?
Eddie Money? That's what they call him.
That's right.
That's what he wants to be called, but you got to make field goals if you want to be called that.
Baby, hold on to him. You know what I mean? Oh, you're not going to get the reference. That's fine. That's fine. Someone in the car did right now. Six games that we talk about every single week, and last week, Jordan, you had a great week, dude. You went 5-1.
Thank you. I'm back, baby.
You were very confident that Deshaun Watson in Houston was going to pull it out. That was your one loss. I was 4-2. I had the Bears winning against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. I had the Eagles over the Patriots because I just went out on a limb.
Again,
it happens.
You're the only one.
When you're a gambler, things like this happen once in a while. You take a couple of lumps.
Are you a gambler
overall,
now?
This season, overall, 43-20 right now.
Okay.
You're four back, but you're getting there. You're getting there. It seems like every week you're getting there, man. 39-24 is what you're at this season. So we start with our pick six games. We've got the Panthers at 5-5, looking to get on the right side of 500. They've got a tough task to do it, though. A team that hasn't looked as great the last couple of weeks, but they're still 8-2, the New Orleans Saints. Panthers, Saints, who do you have?
I know you're a fan of Kyle Allen. I think he's starting to come back down to earth. I think he's starting to come back down to earth. Give me New Orleans. I think they're going to teach Kyle Allen a lesson or two. Give me the Saints.
Yeah, I'm with you on that simply because McCaffrey struggled last week. Maybe somebody figured something out about McCaffrey. You know, maybe defenses are able to scheme a little bit.
They kept him out of the end zone. He still had a lot of yards.
Right, or maybe just by figuring out Kyle Allen a little bit, they're able to shut down Christian McCaffrey a little bit. Yep. I don't know. It's just a working theory. I haven't watched every snap or the all 22s of their games, but I know that the Saints are going to bounce back from a pretty bad performance. The Seahawks at 8-2, they travel to Philadelphia. They take on the Eagles, also looking to get above 500. Who do you got?
I know we're going to disagree with this. I think you think the Eagles are starting to unravel. I think they're out for revenge. They're not going to lose two straight home losses in front of that Philly crowd. I think they're going to beat Seattle at home. Give me the Eagles.
I love it, and I hope that you're correct about that. But right now, Russell Wilson's playing like an MVP, and Carson Wentz is trying to figure out how he could get somebody to get some yards after catch.
Catch the ball, please.
It'd be great if they could. So you're going to take the Eagles. I'm going to take the Seahawks. I just feel like the Seahawks right now, maybe the Eagles earlier in the year would have posed a bigger threat, but I'm not seeing it right now. Hopefully they prove me wrong. The Cowboys at 6-4, they've got a really tough matchup. They're headed to Gillette. to take on the 9-1 New England Patriots.
No question. Give me the Patriots.
I'll take the Cowboys.
Oof.
At some point, the Patriots got to lose again, right?
What is up with you and not picking the Patriots?
Because I'm going to be right one day,
that's
right?
That's fine. I'll take the win.
I kind of want to take that one back. No, it's fine. I'm rolling with it. Dak Prescott, it. Baby. All right. Sunday night football. The Packers 8-2 taking on the 49ers at 9-1. This has game of the year potential. It's got potential. Right now, the game of the year is Seahawks and 49ers, without a doubt. It's going to be hard to top that one.
Hopefully it lives up to the hype. I think the Packers having a bye week, having a full week to game plan against this 49ers team and seeing how Arizona was able to move the ball against this Niners defense twice this year, and they pretty easily, Arizona was able to move up and down the field. I think Packers learned a thing or two. Give me the Packers on the road.
Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur go way back. They've been at about 13 different stops together as they both have been coming up, and they also both know Sean McVay and have taken some of his superpowers as well. Defensively, offensively, a lot of these coaches have intermingled. There's a lot of connections here between these two coaching staffs, and I'm going to trust the guy that's a little bit more proven with what he's doing right now than a brand new Matt LaFleur, because in the end, Rodgers still has a big, heavy like part of what this team ends up doing on offense, because he still has so much control over the RPOs and all that. Kyle Shanahan, I'm going to trust him right now over Matt LaFleur, and even coming out of a bye, I got a feeling that the 49ers will continue their winning ways against the Green Bay Packers. So give me the 49ers. You've got the Packers, and then Ravens at 8-2 head to take on the Rams tomorrow on Monday Night Football. 6-4, those Rams.
That could be the game of the year. We'll see. I think the Rams offense, I feel like they're going to figure out a way to beat their former player, Marcus Peters. I think Lamar Jackson is going to be slowed down at some point. Give me the Rams at home for a little upset special.
You're taking the Rams. I'm
upset
shocked
special,
by that.
Baby.
You're just hurt because they won last week. That's crazy to me. Dude, I'm taking Lamar Jackson over Jared Goff all damn day long. And I guess I could apply that same logic to Aaron Rodgers versus Jimmy Garoppolo, but screw it. I can make up the rules as I go here. I'm taking the Ravens, bro. The Bears, in just a little while, 11:30, the pregame begins on Sports Fan Radio 1330. They've got the Giants coming to town. The Giants, 2 wins, the Bears, 4. Who wins another?
If there was one game this Bears pass rush could break out, is against this Giants offensive line. You got to beat the tackles. Khalil Mack, today is the day to show up. I think the Bears do that. I think they get the job done. Give me the Bears.
I'm with you, and Eddie Pinheiro gets 5 field goals. Give me the Bears. Oh. We've got the game starting at noon, as mentioned, broadcast in just a half hour. Our time is up, and we look forward to catching you next week for another Football Sunday at SportsFan1330 on Twitter. If you have any last-minute questions, we've got an hour to do it. Don't wait around. The playoffs are coming up, and if you're like our league, they're starting today, which I just found out, so I'm glad that you told me about this, Jordan. Have a great rest of your week here. Enjoy your Football Sunday.